You know, imagine you finally spring for like the most advanced state-of-the-art navigation system in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it can calculate traffic down to the millisecond. It perfectly predicts weather patterns, and it even routes you around accidents before they even happen.
So it's basically the ultimate co-pilot. I mean, you'd probably trust it with your life at that point.
You completely would. You just sit back, punch in the destination, and, let it do its thing. But there's a massive catch.
Okay.
Someone, on the very first day it was manufactured, accidentally installed the internal map upside down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And because this genius GPS has only ever known this upside down map, it brilliantly, flawlessly, and, with the utmost precision, guides you straight into a lake.
Right. Because it is executing perfectly, but on a fundamentally flawed reality. I
Yeah.
mean, it doesn't actually know what a lake is,
No.
or what a road is, for that matter. It just knows, the math says, to keep moving forward based on the parameters it was given.
Exactly. And that scenario right there is exactly where we find ourselves today when we talk about artificial intelligence analyzing our business data.
Yeah, it really is.
We are operating in this landscape where the sheer unbridled brilliance of the machine is totally at the mercy of the map we feed it. So, welcome to the deep dive. We are absolutely thrilled to have you with us today.
It's gonna be a good one.
It is. Our mission today is exploring a dense but honestly incredibly fascinating essay from Chandra Narayanan, published over at Opinionated Intelligence.
Yeah, from April 15, 2026.
Right. And it tackles what might be honestly the most important question in modern enterprise tech right now. Like, how do we actually stop AI from hallucinating or flat out misinterpreting our business data?
It's just a phenomenal piece of writing because it cuts right through the magical thinking that surrounds AI right now.
Oh, the hype is everywhere.
Everywhere. And this gives us a very practical, mechanical look at how human domain knowledge actually has to interface with artificial intelligence to get anything of real value out of it.
Yeah. And before we get completely lost in the technical weeds here, let's give you the signal right at the top. We want to lay out the core roadmap of this essay so you know exactly where we're heading today.
That's a great idea.
So essentially, there are four big takeaways. First, we are going to explore how AI needs a specific kind of validation layer, what Narayan calls correlated metrics, to stop it from making up stories.
Right, checking its work, basically.
Exactly. Second, we'll look at why AI is completely blind to data pipelines that have been broken from the start.
The persistent absence problem.
Yes, the persistent absence. Third, we'll dive into how perfect data can still hide massive anomalies that, frankly, only a human can decipher.
The clean anomalies.
Right. And finally, how the simple passage of time forces us to constantly rethink what normal even means in a business context.
That roadmap really gets to the heart of the issue because a lot of organizations currently are just, dumping massive CSV files or raw database logs into an LLM and asking it to find insights.
Just shaking the magic eight ball.
Exactly. They're treating AI like an oracle.
Right. It's that whole hands-off analytics dream. You just plug the AI into the data hose, you walk away and let it print money.
If only it were that
If
easy.
only. But if I'm reading this essay right, the danger there is that AI doesn't understand the difference between metrics that are just casually hanging out together and metrics that are mathematically chained to one another.
Yes. You are touching on a really critical distinction the author makes here, which is orthogonal metrics versus correlated metrics.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Let's break that down because it's the foundation of why AI fails at this. Orthogonal metrics are essentially independent variables.
Yeah.
Think of the weather outside versus the number of shoes an e-commerce store sells.
Right. Like they might influence each other, but there's no hard rule saying they absolutely have to.
Precisely. And AI loves orthogonal metrics. It is fundamentally a pattern matching engine, right? It's built on probability.
It's just looking for vibes in the numbers.
Exactly. It's a genius at looking at vast oceans of data and finding hidden, weird, probabilistic relationships. Like, it might figure out that when it rains in Seattle on a Tuesday, red sneaker sales spike by 4%.
Which is a great story.
It's a great story, and it's exactly what AI was built to do.
Right.
But correlated metrics are an entirely different beast. They are not probabilistic, they are deterministic.
Meaning they have a forced, undeniable mathematical relationship.
Yes.
So we aren't talking about maybe this influences that. We're talking about a hard tether. And the essay uses daily active users, DAU, weekly active users, and monthly active users as the prime example here.
Yeah, the classic DAU AU, WAU, and MAU. These are not independent. They must mathematically nest inside each other.
Right.
Like every single person who logged into your app today, your DAU, absolutely must, by the laws of physics and math, be included in your weekly active users.
Okay, so if I'm looking at a dashboard, right, and it says 100 people logged in today, but only 50 people logged in this entire week. The AI might look at that and try to invent some brilliant behavioral narrative about, I don't know, fast-churning super users.
It will absolutely try to write a fiction novel about it.
But mathematically, that's just a broken dashboard.
Totally broken.
Yeah.
Because LLMs operate on semantic relationships and probabilistic token generation, right? Not rigid arithmetic logic.
Oh, that makes sense.
So if you don't explicitly build a deterministic validation layer outside the AI to check that math first, the AI just assumes the data is reality.
You know, it's essentially like balancing a checkbook. If I deposit $100 into my account, but my available balance only goes up by $10, my bank's math is fundamentally broken.
Right.
Like I didn't magically spend $90 in my sleep.
That analogy hits it perfectly. Correlated metrics act as your internal accounting system. When they diverge, it almost always signals a data integrity problem.
Like a bug.
Yeah,
a
deduplication bug, a broken tracking pixel, whatever. And it signals this long before you even reach the stage of analyzing user behavior.
Right.
Another vital example the source provides is the really tight relationship between total transactions and revenue.
Okay, let's unpack that one. Because if my transactions are going through the roof, I'm assuming my revenue is doing the exact same thing.
I mean, they should be moving in lockstep, yes.
Yeah.
But let's say your AI excitedly generates a report for your Monday morning all-hands meeting, right?
Okay.
And it says total transactions are up by 15% this month. The AI flags this as a massive win. But then you look at the correlated metric, the actual revenue, and revenue is only up 2%.
Whoa. So the AI missed the bigger picture because it only looked at the volume of action, not the value of the action.
Yeah, and it goes even deeper than that. When correlated metrics like transactions and revenue diverge that sharply, it is an alarm bell for a structural issue.
What kind of issue?
It means you are likely dealing with massive refunds that aren't being logged properly in the database, or an attribution error,
oh, yeah.
Or perhaps a massive mix shift.
Okay, a mix shift meaning like customers suddenly started buying millions of our $1 items and completely stopped buying our $100 items.
Exactly. And for you listening, this dynamic matters immensely.
Yeah.
Because the worst case scenario isn't that your AI fails to find an insight.
Right.
The worst case scenario is that you walk into a high stakes board meeting, you present a brilliant AI generated strategy based on a massive spike in daily engagement.
Oh no, I see where this is going.
Only to have a junior data engineer in the back row raise their hand and say, actually, that was a deduplication bug in the pipeline. We were counting the exact same users twice.
Ouch. Yeah, that is the ultimate deflation of trust.
It's brutal.
Once you present hallucinated data as fact, nobody trusts the AI, and more importantly, nobody trusts you. Which leads me to a really interesting puzzle here. If checking whether DAU nests inside WAU is just a basic math problem, why can't the AI just catch these errors automatically?
Right. Why do we need the humans?
Yeah. Why do we need humans building these separate validation layers?
Well, now we are hitting the absolute core insight of Narayan's essay.
Yeah.
It comes down to a fundamental asymmetry in how artificial intelligence learns about a business.
Okay. What does that mean?
So AI is phenomenal at detecting a divergence from a historical pattern. Let's say your revenue has perfectly tracked with your transactions for 3 solid years.
Right.
If suddenly today that correlation breaks and revenue drops off a cliff, the AI will scream. It will flash red lights and send you an alert. It sees the change.
Right. Because it has 3 years of a clean baseline to compare this new data against. Like, it knows what normal looks like.
Yes. But here is the asymmetry. AI completely fails at detecting the persistent absence of a correlation. Imagine a scenario where your data pipeline tracking those refunds has been broken since the very first day your company launched.
Oh, man. So the AI has never seen the right way to do it.
Never. It looks at the entire history of the company's data, sees that transactions and revenue have never perfectly aligned, and it just shrugs.
It thinks that's fine.
It doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
It simply learns the broken state as the baseline normal. It concludes, oh, in this specific company, a 15% transaction spike always results in flat revenue. That's just the weather here.
So basically, AI is incredibly observant but completely gullible.
Yes, highly gullible.
If we feed it garbage from day one, it doesn't say, hey, this is garbage. It just assumes garbage is your standard operating procedure.
It is entirely gullible because it has no conceptual understanding of what a business actually is.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't know that a business needs to make money to survive.
Right.
It doesn't know that a user is a human being who can only be awake for so many hours a day. It just sees statistical weights.
And this is where the essay argues that the human being is utterly irreplaceable in the loop. Because only the human has what the author calls prior expectations.
Exactly. A human analyst has to step in and say, wait a minute. It is logically impossible for us to acquire 10,000 new users today, but have our daily active user count remain totally flat.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I don't care if the AI says the historical data shows this is normal for us. The historical data is lying.
The human is the philosophical anchor of reality. I love how that recenters us in an age where the narrative is constantly pushing us to just let the algorithms drive the car.
Right.
We have to tell the AI what reality is supposed to look like before it can tell us if reality is breaking.
And implementing those prior expectations is a very literal technical process. Like, data science teams actually have to write rigid business logic rules, these deterministic constraints that sit on top of the AI.
So they're basically putting guardrails up.
Yes. You have to explicitly program the system. If DAU is greater than WAU, throw an error. Do not pass go. Do not generate a clever insight.
Okay, so let's say we do that. We set up the rules. We fix the data pipeline. The deduplication bug is squashed. The refunds are tracking perfectly.
Pristine data.
Our internal accounting system is pristine. But what happens when the data is 100% clean and those correlated metrics still diverge?
Well, then you have arrived at the gold mine.
Ooh, okay.
When your data is pristine and your correlated metrics break their historical pattern, you are no longer looking at a bug. You are looking at a clean anomaly.
And clean anomalies equal massive strategic insights.
Exactly.
This is where it shifts from IT troubleshooting to actual business strategy.
Yes, exactly.
Let's walk through some of those scenarios from the essay because they really illustrate how counterintuitive data can be sometimes. The first one is acquisition versus engagement.
Okay, let's say your marketing team is running a massive new campaign, right?
Yep.
They are crushing it. New user acquisition is climbing sharply month over month. If you just ask the AI to summarize growth, it might flag this as a massive success story.
I mean, it sounds like one.
Right. But you look at the correlated metric, overall user engagement across the platform, and it is completely flat.
Ah. So we are aggressively pouring water into a bucket, but the water level inside the bucket isn't rising at all.
The math is clean, but the reality is grim. That divergence between those two metrics tells you instantly that you do not have a growth success story.
You have a retention crisis.
Exactly. You have a leaky bucket. Users are pouring in the front door, looking around, and sprinting straight out the back.
Wow.
If you only look at the independent metric of acquisition, you'd be throwing a party. But the correlated metric tells you to sound the alarm and pause your marketing spend.
Okay, what about session count versus time spent? Because when I was reading the source material, this example felt incredibly ambiguous.
It is, and it's a brilliant example of why human context is mandatory.
Okay.
So let's say the number of times people open your software, the sessions, is totally flat.
Okay. Nobody is opening the app more often than usual?
Right. But the actual time spent inside the app per session is suddenly rising dramatically.
Okay, I found myself thinking about this one like staring at a microwave.
A microwave.
Yeah, like if I'm staring at the microwave for an extra 5 minutes, it's either because the food inside looks absolutely amazing and I can't wait to eat it, or the buttons are broken and I can't figure out how to turn the stupid thing off.
Yes, that is the perfect way to look at it. It is inherently ambiguous. That divergence means one of two diametrically opposed things.
Right.
Either your product team just shipped a brilliant update, the content is incredible, and users are deeply engaged, or you just shipped a user interface update that made your product impossibly confusing, and people are taking twice as long just to find the settings menu.
And the AI cannot tell you which one it is.
It absolutely cannot. It can only highlight the tension. It functions like a highly sensitive metal detector.
Okay.
It can beep really loudly to tell you something significant is buried under the sand, but you still have to take out the shovel, dig it up, and use human judgment to see if you just found a gold coin or an old tin can.
So the human has to look at that tension and say, did we just launch a feature that adds friction or a feature that adds value?
Exactly.
There is one more example from the text regarding clean anomalies that actually seemed really optimistic. What happens if your daily active users are rising steadily, but your new user acquisition is completely flat?
Oh, this is the dream scenario for most software companies.
Really?
Yeah. If you aren't dumping more water into the bucket, but the water level is rising anyway, how does that work? It means your old users are coming back more frequently.
Oh, organic retention. They aren't just trying it out. It's becoming a daily habit.
Yes. In the tech world, this specific divergence is often the ultimate signal that you have achieved deep product market fit maturity.
That makes a lot of sense.
The product is so good and the value is so clear that the existing base is deepening its relationship with the platform without you having to spend a dime on marketing.
Okay, so if we step back for a second, we've got these incredibly tight relationships between metrics, DAU and WAU, acquisition and engagement.
Right.
But nothing in business stays static forever. And that ambiguity you just mentioned with the microwave analogy, like, is it engaging or is it broken?
Yeah.
That brings us to the final major concept in the essay, the factor of time and how these correlations physically change as a product grows up.
Yes. This is where Narayan introduces the concept of the business lifecycle into the AI equation. Because even the strongest, most mathematically rigid correlations naturally loosen as a product matures.
Let's ground that in reality for a bit. What does that loosening actually look like in practice? Let's use the new users versus DAU relationship as the example.
Okay, so when a startup first launches, say in month one, every single person who uses the app is, by definition, a new user.
Obviously, yeah.
So the correlation between new users and daily active users is practically 1-to-1. If your acquisition pipeline breaks and new users drop to zero, your DAU instantly drops to zero as well. They are glued together.
But fast forward 5 years, the company is wildly successful.
Right. 5 years later, you have a massive, stable base of millions of loyal long-term users. Now, your marketing site could go down, new user acquisition could drop by 20% in a single week, and your DAU might barely even flicker.
Because the new users are just a tiny drop in a massive daily pool.
Exactly. The relationship has fundamentally loosened. The math has changed. And now the AI is perfectly capable of detecting that statistical shift.
Right.
It runs the models and sends you an alert saying, hey, the correlation coefficient between new users and DAU has dropped from 0.9 down to 0.4.
But again, the AI doesn't know what a startup is. It doesn't know what market penetration feels like.
No.
It just sees the spreadsheet changing. It can't tell the difference between a yikes, our tracking pipeline just broke moment and a yay, our product is finally maturing moment.
And that is the crux of the context problem. Without human understanding of the lifecycle stage of the business, AI cannot distinguish between normal maturation and a catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
If you are a 5-year-old mature product, that decoupling of metrics is a yay moment. It means your business is incredibly stable and resilient to acquisition shocks. But if you are a 3-month-old startup and that exact same decoupling happens, that is a yikes moment. Because it means your data tracking pipeline probably just went offline entirely.
It requires the human analyst to manually adjust the AI's parameters. Like the human has to step in and say, I know we just passed our 5-year anniversary. I know we have high market penetration. Therefore, I expect this correlation to weaken. Do not panic.
It always returns to prior expectations. Usually it's just history, shoot a strategy.
Oh, I like that.
The AI knows what usually happens based on the logs. The human knows what should be happening based on the business model.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, as you go back to your desk or your team or, you know, your own messy data? If we synthesize this entire framework, I think Chandranarayan is subtly pushing back against a very loud, very persuasive narrative in the tech world right now.
Oh, absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of pressure to achieve full automation. Leaders want to deploy AI that operates entirely autonomously, making decisions and generating insights without human bottlenecks.
But this essay completely dismantles the idea that autonomous AI can exist in a vacuum of domain knowledge.
It really does.
The real power dynamic here isn't humans blindly trusting AI to do all the thinking, and it certainly isn't humans trying to do all the manual math themselves while ignoring the tools.
Right. The true advantage lies in combining AI's infinite breadth of detection.
Yeah.
You know, its ability to monitor 10,000 metrics simultaneously, 24 hours a day, without getting tired. Combining that with a human's deep understanding of intent and reality.
It positions you, the human, not as a mere operator pulling levers, but as the essential architect of reality. The AI comes to you and asks, is this what usually happens? And you have to answer, yes, but let me tell you if that's what should be happening.
Because should requires an understanding of human behavior. It requires knowing that a user interface update might confuse people.
Exactly.
It requires knowing that a holiday weekend will depress B2B software usage. AI cannot deduce should from a CSV file.
It's like we are building this incredibly powerful million horsepower engine, but the engine inherently does not know where the car is supposed to go.
And worse, if the steering wheel has been broken since the car rolled off the lot, the engine thinks driving in circles is the ultimate goal of the journey.
Which brings us to a final, slightly provocative thought I want to leave you with today. We have spent this deep dive talking about AI's biggest weakness, you know, this blind spot where it normalizes historically broken data systems just because they have always been that way. Mm-hmm. It completely accepts the persistent absence of the right way because it's only ever seen the wrong way.
It is a profound limitation of machine learning, but it's a limitation based entirely on the data it is fed.
But if we turn that mirror around for a second, what other broken states in our own lives, in our team workflows, or in our businesses have we just accepted as normal simply because they've always been that way?
Wow, that is a challenging question. Yeah. We are incredibly quick to judge the AI for learning the broken state. But humans are remarkably adaptable creatures.
We really are.
Sometimes our sheer ability to adapt to terrible processes becomes our own blind spot.
Exactly. How many broken pipelines, inefficient meetings, or completely backward strategies are we normalizing in our day-to-day routines just because we lack the prior expectation that things could actually be better?
Yeah.
We get so used to driving with the map upside down, and eventually we just forget that the lake isn't supposed to be part of the route.
We just adapt. We buy a boat and pretend it was a water tour all along.
We really do. So as you head into the rest of your week, check your correlated metrics, rigorously question your baseline normal, and never forget who is actually supposed to be holding the map. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We will catch you on the next one.